Just pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad that you're here, the person of the Holy Spirit. We have no doubt of that, Lord. The prophet also said the King of Kings is here. We know that the great work of the judge, though not fully consummated, came out and showed us that he was already judging the world in righteousness by this word, one Christ Jesus. And we saw the verdict, Lord, was guilty and the bride exonerated. And we're grateful, Lord, for a divine judgment, a divine vengeance, a divine pronouncement. For, Lord, you're the only one who can give the word and make it stick. There's no one else could do that but you alone. You're sovereign. You're God alone. You counseled with yourself and no one else. You formulated your plan. You augmented your plan. Now you maintain it all by yourself. And we're very privileged to be counted a part of that great plan. You just didn't put a plan into force, but your plan was really men, and you in men, giving your substance, your spirit, yourself. And all that was in there to us. We're very privileged if we could only know it, could only take time to be silent before God. Even as the little scripture says, be still and know that I am God. We could just do that, Lord. And we look toward the millennium and think we'll do it then. We look toward the hereafter past that and say we'll be doing it then. But Lord, we ought to be doing it now. Because this is the way you get preeminence. This is the way you get glory. So teach us your acceptable way this morning, your perfect way as never before, for we know perfection has come. And then may the life of that word be loosed in human vessels to do your will, to bring forth that word, Lord, the way it ought to be in this season, not some other season, not what somebody else wants, but what you want. We want, Lord, what you want, and we know there's grace there. And if you want it, Lord, we know the prophet said you'd have to make a way for it, and I know that you have. So here we are this morning, vulnerable, not to the world anymore, but completely vulnerable to you. Ready, Lord, what would you have us to do? We know the answer, so help us by your grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're into the message. I suppose this is perhaps number 11 by now. And Christ has revealed in his own word. And we've been studying this subject for quite some time. And there are certain things that are very evident to us, as we brought out last Sunday when we showed you about 4 points that were just in the title of the sermon itself. So number one, there is absolutely no book or spoken tradition. Now we must put them together, no book and no spoken tradition that reveals Christ except our Bible. Now that's an absolute must to understand. There is no place you will get a revelation outside of the word which has been written. Now, people will try to foist upon us other books and other material, and we saw that happen way back generations ago with the Gnostics when they came on the scene. They read between the lines, and by doing so, they repudiated the Apostle Paul. That's why he wrote, if any man thinks himself to be spiritual or prophet, let him acknowledge the things that I read and do the commandments of God. And then we find that Joseph Smith, a Mormon prophet. Now, I have no doubt that he was a prophet, but he wasn't God's prophet, and I don't think he was even a prophet of God, although people thought he was. And he came with some information which is not relevant, which is not true. The Roman Catholic Church also purports to be the prophet for the people. Their prophet is Jezebel, the wicked one, you know, the heathen. And they try to tell us that they wrote the Bible or part of the Bible. And they have added books like Esdras, you know, and I think they've got a third book of Peter, which is the most horrendous, stupid thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the most degraded pope. Even old Leo wouldn't have countenanced that. We've had some pretty outstanding, horrific people in the papal line. We've had them in the Protestant line, too. But we have to understand here, when you're talking of this message that Brother Branham brought, he will take you no place but to the Word of God, because there's no other source. It's absolutely, it isn't one. So his revelation, that's the revelation of himself, is contained exclusively in the Holy Scripture and nowhere else. So there's no use researching other books. There's no use going back to other theologies, although I can't deny that they've had some pertinent and good points. But you have to go to the Bible. Number two, It is his own revelation of himself, and therefore the Bible is absolutely and exclusively God's own word. Now, that's got to be true, because it's not man's revelation, no way, shape, and form. It's in no way the word of a man. And since this is so, that is that this is exclusively God's own revelation of himself, God's own word, not the words of any man, even though a prophet wrote it, there must be some way that God had of giving the word and proving that it was he himself giving that word, even though he did use the prophets. There had to be, because, you see, that's, people were gullible to we say, Joseph Smith in America here. They were gullible to men in Europe. And they're still gullible. If you want to trace the records, my memory's not that good, and I'm not, this morning, feel like even mentioning people's names. But I could mention some names by simply going back in some books. And you'll find that people around this message even purport to be prophets. Now, I'm not against a fivefold ministry prophet. You understand that? When somebody comes on the scene and says he's got something to tell you that the prophet hasn't said, or takes what the prophet said and twists it or denies it, that person is evidently the false evangelist, a false prophet, a false teacher, a false apostle, a false pastor, I don't care what he is. Because the Apostle Paul, I quoted a while ago how Paul said, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commands of the Lord. So therefore, Paul, the apostle prophet, was above any fivefold ministry and minister. But you'll have them right today come along if they've got some revelation. I understand poor Doc Jeffers hardly cold in the grave when somebody comes down from up north and lets him know he's a prophet and he's going to put the church in order. Well, I said, you put him out of order. Get him out of there. I mean, you know, you talk about, look at, all right. Are we to the stage where we can still be gullible? Anybody comes by and says something and you fall for that hogwash? Well, you've got a thus saith the Lord demonstrated by God. I mean, come on. You think the Apostle Paul stood there and let those people buffet him around and say, hey, we believe this and you're wrong? Why, he was stood him right in their face and backed him in a corner, bluffed him right out. It wasn't any bluff he was carrying. But they were carrying a bluff and he bluffed them out because that's all they had, really. Even with Peter. Peter got off of balance. You want to stick to the word of God, you stick to man in the category of the Apostle Paul. We'll mention that before I get over these notes here. Now, since he is the same, that's God is the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, his revelation must be ever current and distinctly known to every age. Now, there hasn't been a time when God has not revealed himself in his word in the measure of the revelation that he desired. It couldn't be. Because you see, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that revelation cannot change, but it will grow continuously. For instance, when Moses wrote in the scripture, way back, I guess, in Deuteronomy, no man add and no man take. Well, how come then the other prophets came on the scene and they added terrifically? They wrote whole books. They didn't add. They merely, as the Bible said, God never diminishes, but God's magnified, and he magnifies his word. So every single scripture that's written beyond there, in the history, in the Psalms, and instruction, Proverbs, all through there, was a magnification of what was written. Even Jesus said, if you had known Moses, you would have known me. So therefore, what Paul wrote was absolutely what Moses said way back there. Was way back what Isaiah didn't add to, per se, but he magnified, giving a greater in-depth revelation. Sometimes one word will do it. Sometimes it takes many words. For instance, you take a man describing this building here. And you got four people. To put four people. One in the front, one in the back, and one east and one west. And you say, now don't describe that building except exactly what you see on your side. You'll have four different descriptions. You say, well, that can't be the same building. It's the same building. But you see, there's four people describing the unit. And to one is given the elaboration of one side. Just like your four gospels, your four living creatures. Nobody's added to this word, and nobody's taken from it. And God has given this perfect revelation through the prophets. So therefore, since he is that Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday and forever, the revelation must be current, ever current. There never was a time when God didn't make himself known the way he wanted to make himself known. And since this is the last age that we're living in, we certainly are, and the final revelation of himself, which is according to Revelation 13, 40, 14 to 22, he has to reveal himself to us and make himself known in the scriptural message of this hour. Because that's how it's going to be done. There's a little verse over here in Acts, the 13th chapter, that I like to use. I don't know just what verse it is. Maybe that's the back here. We'll start at 39. And by him all the believer justified from all things in which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He tells you that God is going to manifest himself in works, in signs and in wonders, and somebody's going to be standing there and explaining it, and you'll say, hogwash, I don't buy that from anybody. So I'm not going to take it. See, now you understand what I'm saying. I'm laying down a principle here that I've taught for years to you people and people around the world. That God cannot come on the scene and do something without a prophet. Even though the Son of Man ministry came through William Branham. He said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. But he said, the prophet reveals the Son of Man. God moving through the prophet. The words of a man cannot do manifest what was manifested upon the word of the prophet. No way, shape, and form. Can't be done. So what was it? It was God with the prophet. We'll deal with that too a little bit more down the road. See? So here is a prophet that is used to God. God manifesting himself, showing any signs and wonders. And the prophet explaining it. But do you think the theologians and the people will take the explanation? No. And there's where we sit this morning secure 100% that we're in the bride in the message of this last hour because we take what he said. Now we might not understand it all. And we're not going to live it all. You better believe you won't. Your perfection came by two sources, the blood and the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the washing of the water. Or the word of Almighty God. Put that as a third if you want, but they're all intertwined. Because in the blood of Jesus Christ in this hour scatters sin, there's no evidence. See? All right. So you understand, this last age message, number four, this last age message has been called the evening light or evening time message. And I'm reviewing what previously we have read in the other 40 pages of this message, or 30-some, because I might have skipped a few at the beginning. And since light is given in order to reveal what cannot be seen correctly, unless there is light, or it can't be seen at all, we know there is to be a revelation at the end time, even as it says in Ephesians 1:17-18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, in order that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We know the hope of his glory. See? In the saints. His inheritance of the saints. And so on. Now, and that is, in spite of the gross darkness of this age, where people say, we have need of nothing, and God says, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, you're blind. So another kind of light has to come, other than the light of revelation. That has been in the past. You follow. So that's what this is all about, this message. Christ is revealed in his own word, and this is his own word demonstrated. Therefore, what I'm telling you is the true Christ, and anything else is a false Christ. Because there's an antichrist. And how can you know an antichrist until, first of all, you've got the true Christ? There cannot be a counterfeit unless there's the real. And we better watch this state of ours. Reagan, God put his foot in his mouth when he said that, you know, you got to get these industrial diamonds. We're going to get them from Africa. And the only place making industrial diamonds, he figures, the USSR. Right down here in Worthington, Ohio, they're making more diamonds than any place else in the world. According to the report I read in the University of Delaware. Well, Delaware, anyway, it's in there. They're making these diamonds. And they're phony. I hope this state isn't phony. I think there's more little groups that call themselves bride in this state than any other state in the union. Need I say more? If you don't know my feelings by now about what's going around here, you sure you misunderstood me. You're just double guessing even when I'm preaching. Now, on Sunday, June the 13th, we saw that if light was to be given, there had to be an eye to see what was to be revealed, or why would the light be given? Like Brother Branham said, a true healing revival has got to be followed by a new message. God doesn't give a great manifested message showing himself in signs and wonders for the same old tired message everybody knows. See? And yet it's the same message continuing. And they forget that that the bride was buried in the dark ages the same as Christ was, to come forth in her own resurrection in the third day. See? All right. What would be the use if there weren't eyes to see? Now, where is the eye? It is in the head. Now, you can't speak of anything concerning the Word of Almighty God as related to redemption and the people in redemption, which is the bride, let's face it, and talk about a head and not know that headship is God. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So, all right. Where then is God? Where is the eye? The eye is always in the head. Now, that head cannot come down here in the form of flesh. You can't have it. No, sir. He cannot. So, when you speak then of an eye, which is true, because remember, everything that is based on in nature is based upon God. I'm just learning that for the first time in all these years. And I don't mind it because I'm slow. When I get it, then I got it. Never miss anything of. Nobody will. You're blind. See? Now, looking then at this figure which is being built up, and has been almost exclusively built up. It's almost over now. And there's an evening time light. What is it? What is the light given for? It's given for the eye. Now, the church is not the eye. It never has been. Now, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants will deny that, but they're liars. They're just plumb liars. They haven't got a thing to do with the Word. And furthermore, they don't want the Word. They kick the Word out. It happened sometime during the ministry of Brother Branham when the great healing revival was on. They said it's the devil. They had every excuse for not believing. But remember, the eye is in the head. So therefore, at the end time of evening light, headship has to be here. In what form? Now there's where everybody sucks their breath in and they go, they can't understand what I'm preaching. Talked to another young man the other day. We spent 4 hours of my time. And he was with me like I was with Brother Branham, but on a different basis entirely. Because I thoroughly misunderstood what Brother Branham was saying. Because his words were couched in such a way you never would have caught it. So I kept giving back to him what was my understanding. Finally I said, are you trying to tell me? He said, yes, now you got it. And this boy was going back and forth every which way, not understanding what the baptism was, not realizing what Brother Branham was teaching. That the baptism gives way to the baptizer himself. Now that wasn't Jesus. He said, I will give you another comforter. And he said, I will come, my Father will come, we'll both come, and who came? The Holy Ghost came. So therefore God came down in the form of the Holy Spirit, one vast pillar of fire. And I said, can you show me one place in Scripture that it says any one person there at Pentecost received the whole pillar of fire? They said, no. A lick. So therefore, somebody tell you he has received the token, he's got to be wrong. I use words like liars a little bit too harsh and too hard, but Brother Branham said, you got somebody's got to tell him. So I'm telling you, he's a liar. Quoting the authenticity of my right to say these harsh words from a prophet who had a vision and told me to... They don't soft pedal. Somebody's got to tell them. Now, they don't mean to. But when they hear the truth, they better draw back and understand what you're saying. Because by your words, you're justifying. By your words, you condemn. And when you pray in the presence of God, let your words be few and don't give the sacrifice of fools. Because God is in heaven and you're on earth, which shows the place of superior authority. And Brother Brown said, you've got to say the right thing if you're going to make it. And the right thing was the knowledge of the third pole. What's going on today? All right. Nobody received the full pillar of fire. They couldn't do it. The only time the full pillar of fire can invade anybody at all, that person is a prophet. God was in
the prophets, and if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you take 13, Hebrews 13 and 8, you got to run it right with Hebrews 1, chapter 1, 1 and 2, and 3. You got to run it to chapter 12, where it tells you there's an end time message coming. So where is God in the pillar of fire? Only in a prophet, and that's sporadic, intermittently. As Brother Brand said, that's the pillar of fire standing up inside of me now. And use Brother Brandon's voice. Now, people just scatter with that, but they sooner trust some harum-scarum pulp or some stupid Protestant. And call themselves even educated. Educated with what? It shows you Brother Branham was right. There's no such thing as education in this. It's a revelation. And they're going to turn it down. So he said, what good is light if there's no eye? So there's an eye, and where is the eye? The eye is in the head. Where is the head? He came down. Revelation 10:1. So now you got God, prophet, prophet, God. And the prophet becomes God to the people. But that's how his word comes. Now, do you think people believe this? Listen, I went to a seminary for 6 weeks before they kicked me out. I snuck out. I saw the timbers falling, and I saw the goosebumps on my head and other places. So I moved out. Do you think a seminary is going to teach you this? Not for 1 minute. So therefore, you see, between Brother Branham of this hour, if you believe he's Malachi 4, you see a perfect identity between him and God. If he is there, then God is there. And if God is there, then somebody's there. A perfect identity, so that you know that every word he tells you is thus saith the Lord, and you can bank on it. Otherwise, the whole thing falls to the ground. Because you can't get a revelation. I can't get a revelation. Somebody gets a revelation. Who is it? Get to that person. Well, have I got to the right person? What are the earmarks? What are people looking for? They're looking for exactly what Rome has said. We wrote the Bible. We made the Bible. You bet they did, but not this Bible. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. There's going to be records open today, and this word's going to be open on that great white throne judgment. And every book, Joe Smith's, and the book of the Maccabees, and Esdras, and 3 Peter, Enoch, Jasher, all those books are going to be open and laid side by side. Oh, you bet. And I believe that white throne judgment is going to last for thousands of years, perhaps, because the word in the Greek is millennia, not millennium. Although I have no word in the prophet, I'm telling you my own little belief that God's not going to go across the screen and that's it. Everyone's going to have his day in court, and they're going to say, did I not cast the devils? Did I not do so and so? And he's going to say, but thus it is written, and a prophet came, and you turned him down. You were willing to take me as a God who could do signs and wonders and miracles, but you couldn't take me as Hebrews 13 and 8. Mark 16 is peripheral. Understand that. It's genuine, but it's peripheral. It's like the blood of bulls and goats was in good stead to the blood of Jesus. Then forget the bulls and goats. And we could stand the reformers until this hour. Now forget the reformers. Luther's out. Wesley's out. As far as denomination and church concerned, but not the men themselves. No way, shape, and form. Don't ever sell Luther short. Not in my presence, anyway. To me, he had all the rest head and shoulders backed off the map. But he didn't have what it took for that hour to manifest what it took for the second hour, because God didn't give it. That began coming under Wesley and Pentecost, and now today. See? All right. Also, the eye is the last moving member of the body. There'll be no more messages. The next is the mind. Let's just take a look over here in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and begin to see something beautiful here, brother, sister. I'll have time, by the grace of God, to finish this last few pages. 2nd chapter, 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What does he mean? What God testified to him. What God told him. And remember, he had the power to repeat it exactly as God said it. Most of you don't even know that about a prophet. How was it done? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let me figure it. Did he have a computer? Did he have an amanuensis, the guy that wrote this stuff for him? Did he have somebody like Dave with 100 words a minute on a typewriter? No typewriters, Dave. We've got a lot. Did he have tape recorders like Joe's got there in the car? No tape recorders. What did he have? He had the Spirit of God. He had God's mind. Not like your mind and my mind that could change. God's mind is solid concrete. Couldn't change if he tried. Brother Bram preached a whole sermon on it. Does God change his mind about his word? No way, shape, and form. He'll let you horn in for a while. You watch what happens later on. Oh, yeah, leanness of soul. You'd be one of the crowd that goes to the lake of fire. Now, we're reading in here. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. That's not the message today. That's not the message today. That's not end-time evangelism. It's the living one that was in human flesh is here now. He died, but he's proving he's risen amongst us with healing in his wings, immortality. The book of redemption closing out. All right. With your weakness and fear and trembling and much trembling, weakness and fear and trembling, my speech and preaching was so-and-so. Then he said, but verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God and the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation, before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, they're blind back here like today. They crucify the Son of God afresh themselves. Come on. I has not written, ear, heard, and so on. Now, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And Paul, in the same book, in the 14th chapter, turns around and tells us that he wrote this as the commandments of God. Here is the testimony. Here is what the Spirit taught him. And he said, what I've said over here is the ordinance of God, the commandments of God. That's verses 35, 36, and 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. What man knows the things a man's in, the Spirit of man's in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, there's only so far you can go in comparing God and nature. You can just see how it runs in continuity. But there comes a time when you've got to have the definitive word from God for the definitive revelation, or it's out. Because you'll run amok. Is it hot in here for you? I'm warm up here maybe, but maybe it's hot down there. Want to get you comfortable. All right, listen. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Your spirit won't work. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. See, but listen. He, the spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Tell you, when you've got the real word of God, there's nobody can judge you. There's nobody can judge you. Nobody can do it, because you've already been judged by God. This hour, now listen to the last verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But I, said Paul, have the mind of Christ. And he was the apostle prophet. He was the prophet. And Brother Branham said concerning him, he did a little personal tape to me. I should write it off, give it to you so that your factory should get the tape and someone should actually transcribe it. There's so much good for some, but anyway. And according, as I remember, he said, see, Lee, we haven't had a prophet like Moses who spoke face to face with God for 2,000 years since the time of Paul till now. Letting you know positively that William Branham put himself with the apostle Paul and Moses. And knowing William Branham, he wasn't that kind of a person to do it unless there was some spirit behind him that forced him to do it, just like this little fellow right here. You notice how the Gentile age starts with the most brilliant man in theology, highly respected right up there at the very top, that had to come down with his manure head and get down where the chickens really were till he could become an eagle. And at the end time, we had really what would be a Dummkopf, a Kentucky hillbilly. Showing that at the end time, God takes the lowest and raises him to the highest. Like he'll take the highest and bring him right down to the low. And if he doesn't want to raise him again, he'll stay there low. That man, William Branham, had no education to mount the hill of beans. But as he said, I only went to seventh grade. And then he got very stern and said, but I knew all it was in the books, saying, don't you smart off with me, kid. I'll put you in your place. That doesn't make me dumb because I don't have an education. That doesn't make me a fool. That doesn't make me some man's tool. I can be round around somebody's finger. Stood right there without education. He had just enough to take him through. Any education I got beyond the eighth grade was superfluous. I could have quit in grade 7. Never had an education. Didn't need it. What I got, simply I have vocabulary. That's all I ever use. I could have Latin and that kind of junk. Who needs it? Not when you're up here preaching. I just need vocabulary. In other words, the ability to speak, not fluent or anything else, but just have a mind that can take a word, simple words, simpler than I use myself on my own, and God can use that person's mouth. Certainly, this is how it was. We have the mind of Christ. In other words, I and God, right in this position today, in the form of the Holy Spirit, in the pillar of fire, heading the church, come down with the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. See how perfect it all comes in. Okay, we're going to read now on page 41. Page number, paragraph 158. So we see the evening lights here. All right, the evenly. What is that? The revelation of the manifestation of the word of this hour. Now listen to what I said. Now you listen carefully because you didn't get it. But I just said it a while ago in a different way. The light is the revelation of the manifestation of the word of God. God manifesting his word, you don't know it until somebody explains it. All you can say is, huh, look at that. You don't think that's true? There's a pillar, there's a fire burning a bush, and the bush doesn't burn. And Moses goes, huh? What's it? I better see that. And a voice says, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Now, we're getting somewhere. But until that moment, we got nowhere. And Pentecost and the churches stood back and judged Brother Branham unjustly. They should have said, what is this all about? Who are you? What does this mean? Tell us something. That bunch of Pentecostals right in this great state of Ohio where the phony diamonds are made. Oh, yeah. And they're very bright and very beautiful. And they're very commercial. And very brazen. And they said, Brother Branham's a prophet when he discerns what's wrong with you. But his scripture is all wrong. Listen to us. What for? To duplicity? Who said it with the rest of them and took the Protestants all back to Catholicism? Is that what we're listening to? Fat. You know something? I tell you something. You don't know this, but you're going to know it. That you're ready to be martyrs. Whether you know it or not, something's going to happen to you. Something will happen to you people, and I'm telling you ahead of time. And I'm no prophet. I have to be a prophet. You think the spirit of this hour is going to let you down? See that spirit of revelation? Brother Stan Savosky brought up very good that Tuesday night. That's the creature. Do you think revelation doesn't do for you what the calf did for them? Hogwash. You better come back to classes, brother, sister. Get in tune with God. It's the same spirit. The same spirit that fired the lion is the same spirit that fired the calf is the same spirit that fired the men in their brilliance, the same spirit that stands on a revelation. And if all diabolical cunning is repeated in this age, as the prophet gave me a direct quote in the church age book, then let me tell you, all wisdom and knowledge of the fountainhead is here too in the strength. Don't tell me, brother, sister. I know you get discouraged. You wonder about that squeeze. Forget about it. It's coming. We're coming too, bless God. Yes, sir. I tell you what. All right. Thus we see Christ revealed in his own word, which he certainly is. This is the definitive statement of Brother Branham. This message is that light to walk in, to have fellowship one with another. Let me just get that from 1 John, the first chapter. Now we'll tell you, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, and the life was manifested. That means absolutely in its true character, identified as the life of God. And we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was the Father, and was manifested in its true character to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write that your joys may be full. In other words, Brother Branham coming on the scene and declaring to us, that's delineating and showing us perfectly what it's all about. We have the same that He has, manna from heaven that Moses ate, was the same manna that crowd ate. So Moses brought it down from God. Oh, I know people think, well, if I was Brother Branham, I'm glad I'm not. Not that I wouldn't be happy to be where he is. But I don't want to be what he is. Why should I? No way, shape, and form. Do you think I get up early morning with the mosquitoes biting me and go fishing? You got to be kidding. A good motel with a nice firm mattress and a good restaurant that serves my kind of food, that's hardship today. Even to leave home is hardship. All right. So we see the evening light is here. And what does it do, and what good does it do to have light if you don't have any eyes to see how to get around in that light? What is the evening light? The light comes on to reveal something. Is that right? Then the light then is your revelation. You got a revelation, you got light. If you turn down this revelation, you're in darkness. If there's something here you're feeling and you can't understand what it is in the darkness, then turn on the light. It's to reveal. What's Malachi 4 to do? See? Do the same thing. What was the opening of the seven seals? Now, people said the seventh seal wasn't open, but he said it was open. Or he would have had to say six seals. I'm going to hold him down to being a prophet of God. Let's face it. If there's seven seals on the back to keep the scroll. Now, remember, the scroll is just like this here. Right? A tube of either papyrus or some calfskin or goatskin. Right? As it was. All right. The seal go on the back, eh? All right. Seven seals. I pull six off and one remains. It's still unloosed. The book isn't open. So how do you know what's there? You don't. So it's open. All right. What are all these denominations staggering around in this? Well, they're staggering because they can't see what Brother Branham brought. Or they have their own ideas what it's all about, like the voice said to Brother Osborne, quoting as quickly as I can. Well, he said, that's how the Bible said it's done. It's done in the Bible. You can do it too. No way. No way. That then would not be a true healing revival because a message must follow it. Something's wrong somewhere. See? It's to reveal, bring out. If you haven't gotten the eyes, then what's the use to reveal? There has to be eyes first. And they're in the bride. She's not in the head, but she recognizes. Is that right? To reveal, Malachi 4, Luke 17 and 30, John 14, 12. You know what that is? Greater works. Also John 15, 24. This is the first... I had to read this sermon to realize Brother Branham said that. I forgot he said it. But that's my favorite verse right there. If I had not done the works of another man, did they not sin? But now they both seen and hated both me and my father. 16 and 13. And the Holy Spirit's come teach you all truth. And to reveal, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. So what is he saying? Malachi 4, Luke 17, John 14, which is conjunction with 15:24, coming about by 16 and 13, and Revelation 10, 1 to 7. 10:1 to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, is God coming down to meet with his prophet. That prophet is Malachi 4. The ministry is Luke 17, 30, John 14, 12, 15 and 24, and the whole revelation comes by John 16, 13. There's your key. The opening of the seven seals and the seventh angel's message to open up to reveal when the evening lights come. That's going to explain all the mysteries. Nothing left. See? And what is it to declare that he is here? And what is happening since he is here? Now, if in the Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked. Are they? They sure are. Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? In other words, this age won't see it. If the blind leads the blind, don't they fall in the ditch, right? Naked, blind, and don't know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Okay? Let's go to Romans. Check it out. Parallel. People say, I've got to find mine. Have you? That's fine. Happy for you. Can you take the gospel for the end time? Then what good's your mind? And verse 20, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Tell me when homosexuality hit its stride. After Brother Branham was on the scene. There was a bit of the closet homosexuality. There was a bit of child molestation and abuse. But not until after the light. Figure it out for yourself. It's the truth, you know it. The homos have said that they're the third sex, and they're going to change the world to the third sex. Now, everybody's a homo. Leonardo da Vinci, he could have been for all I know, but I doubt it. Michelangelo had to be a homo. Even Jesus was a homo. Paul was a homo. These illegitimates are getting what they deserve for what they've said. And I'm not going to feel sorry, any way, shape, and form, except for those that inadvertently have caught it from those destructive ones out there. Because don't tell me they don't know what they're doing. Don't tell me they don't. I've got no time for that nonsense. And the churches that agree with it, their mental faculties are gone too. Listen, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers. What's a truce breaker? Well, a truce is where you declare peace, and they break it. Right? What truce have we got? The blood of Jesus Christ and the covenant. God is at peace. Let's find it. Romans, the 5th chapter. Oh, no, I'm not gonna let you go until I get this done. If you're gonna be 2 hours and a half, you're tired, you go on home. I've got no problem. I'm gonna finish this today because I want to get someplace else. Heaven especially, but I don't know. Listen, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God has justified us and declared a truce. These people here have broken it. Because they turned down the messenger of the covenant. So war is on. You might not know, but Brother Branham said the gates of hell are against it. And remember, a gate is not a gate unless there's an enclosure. And a gate is what herds you into it. The gate's what gets you into it. So what gets you into hell is against our revelation here. Now you do what you want with it. You show me my definition is wrong. You show me my thinking is wrong. Why did Samson pull the gates of the city off and put them on the top of the hill? Because he knew the city was now vulnerable. You put a gate, it's not vulnerable. In other words, the main forces of what that city depends upon for their security and their safety, their development, their industry, they're all of it. That's what the gate signifies. It's against us. All hell is against us. And men's minds are perverted, reprobated. They can't do a thing about it. Faculties are gone. Truce breakers. They've broken the covenant. Nobody believes in prophets except a few people like us. Can't take it. Now, why did I preach this way? Because that's how Brother Branham preached. And 60% of my message to 80% is like his. Now, prophet and God. God and prophet. What's this all about? And you know why? Because either you will come to this place gaining more and more and more in this area where live or die, sink or swim, this is it. Or you get so fed up you leave. That's your privilege. If you don't like me, you can go someplace else because that's the word of God. That prophet says so. You don't like the pastor, get yourself another one. So many pastors are so worried about somebody leaving. Well, I don't like to see people leave either. But you know, in only one condition, they'll ever come back. And publicly confess that they're wrong. Because if they leave us, it means we're wrong. Well, why would you leave? We say, well, maybe I'm just wrong myself. I'm a backslider. See? Now, lovers of pleasure. What's the antidote? Malachi 4. Now, they don't know. Watch how Brother Branham sums this whole thing up now. About what's happening here. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, truth figure, false accusing, incontinent, despise those who are good. Having a form of God is denying the power thereof. The power of revelation, they don't even believe in it, see? They don't believe in such things as prophets. And you tell me, how much Christ has a man got that doesn't want a prophet? How much has he got like, now, I'm not going to condemn poor old Brother Moore. Look, I'm not talking about this Moore in Shreveport. I'm talking about old Daddy Moore out there at the West Coast. They wrote the Herald of Hope. The Herald of Heat. No, yeah. The Herald of Hope or something. That was a lovely paper. Every time I got it, and I loved it. God, send us a prophet. God, send us a prophet. Oh, God, people, pray, send us a prophet. Lord, we need a prophet. And Brother Branham goes right and sits at Brother and Sister Moore's table and eats with them. Next month, oh, God, send us a prophet. Oh, God, send us a prophet. And I can hear the Archangel Gabriel say, oh, God, why don't you people shut up? You say, God's not like you. I'm certainly glad he's not, but I don't think he minds me too much. As Billy Sunday said, he made monkeys and parrots, and some of you folk proves he's got a sense of humor. I'm not hardened. You're harder than myself. They don't believe in it. They believe that Malachi 4 is to be a certain church, a certain organization. I can tell you folk absolutely believe that. See? When he came the first time, he was a man. That's Elijah. When he came the second time with the double portion, he was a man. When he came in the form of John the Baptist, he was a man. See? In the last days, when the evening lights begin to shine, eyes will not come open, but become open. It's a gradual process. In other words, more and more light as you go along with this word. And you'll see where you're going. It'll be a man who tells you too. Then the body is already formed, standing upon its feet, taking motion, moving by the Holy Spirit. What? The same one that moved upon the prophets, that wrote the Bible, the same Holy Ghost moving in a body, filled with the Holy Ghost, moved in the Holy Ghost out of every organization and every kindred, tongue, and people. What's he telling you? God back in a prophet to get a bride out. Then if the voice of the shout in the Greek is not said to be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to be a prophet. Then what voice is outside the church knocking and saying, come out and be separate? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, what voice? Revelation 18 and 4. Come out of her, my people. Same one that's over here in Hebrews. I'm going to read it again because I want your minds to be like my mind, to know where this is. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. And he's going back, way back to Moses and then back to the cross. And then he says, at the time, ready for the great translation. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that what? That one from heaven. And he's going to be speaking. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Back in the days of Moses, the thunder and all shook the earth. And they said, don't let it ever happen again. And it didn't. Then when God came in the form of a man and hanged upon the cross and he screamed with a loud voice, why, the earth just rent, everything rent, earthquakes everywhere. Now what about this time? The same one speaking, but he's not here to do it. Because this is a warning to us. There's no use him talking up there if we're in a mess down here. He wouldn't need to talk to get us out of a mess. If we're out of the mess. This is the same as I tell you in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it never yet did happen. That's a group of people changed. What's going to happen? But he said, we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. Everybody thinks I'm going to get changed and get caught up to see him. Hogwash. You got to see him here to get your change. Then you get caught up. This is the same thing right here. This is the something to get you out of the mess. So it's not up there. This is not an oration at the great banquet, the wedding supper. This is down here before the wedding supper. This is that shout. Saying this yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now what remains? God and his word. I stand behind my word abhorrent. The word of God says that, but thou remainest, O Lord. You know, I wound up preaching that subject years and years ago. When I first met Brother Branham back in 1955, that was ringing in mind. Yet thou remainest, thou remainest, thou remainest. All things shaken, thou remainest. I couldn't do it. I still haven't done it, but I know what it's all about now. It's the word. Everything's tumbling down but this word. Notice, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, haven't got it yet when this time's going on, which cannot be removed. What kingdom's that? Matthew 24, we'll go into it, I hope. Let us have grace, whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The consuming fire of God is here, but not to burn us up, to get us out of here. Malachi 4. We're receiving a kingdom. Oh, you can't tell people that. They're not going to believe that. But you believe it. That's why you're here. And that's what we see. The same one that moved upon the prophets that wrote the Bible. Here it is. Where Christ is revealed. The same Holy Ghost moving in a body. That was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and also the prophets. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Moved in the Holy Ghost out of every organization and every kindred tongue and people. And is doing the same thing now. All right. A little lady here who doesn't belong to this congregation. She comes from somewhere else. She came in this morning. Had a picture there. She gave it to my son and was very much astonished. I don't know whether she ever heard about this or not. I don't know. She had a picture of this angel of the Lord that was on the seven church ages. Seven seals opened out there. That's the ring of angels like we have over here. When it did... The voice said, or look back through there. Or she said, she looked back to this. Somebody told her to. And she saw that standing in the sky in a dream. In other words, she was in a dream and she saw this very thing. Okay. And she looked back through there and saw somebody in white marching forward and behind it. Somebody right through there. In other words, you had to come through here, see? And then when you get through here, you're on the other level. But you had to come through there. And here's what she saw. And she said, somebody in white marching forward and behind it. Brother Branham, and she said it was you. In other words, there was somebody marching and people behind him. She said, that was you. And she said they marched in there behind you were people of different colors packing banners, Georgia, Alabama, Alabama, all different kinds of places, marching forward, coming to up into the headship to where Christ was being revealed in the vision. Coming up to where he was. And going in through Christ revealed. Not Pentecost, not Wesley, not Luther. This one. How many ones are there? One. How many religions about this one? Hundreds. Then can there be many phony revelations? Absolutely. Why would he want another one at the end time? Okay, coming up to headship. We're in the last days. We're in the last days, in the last hour of the days. In other words, this is the shout. This is Ephesians 1:17. The spirit of revelation, wisdom of him coming to the church. This is the church moving in divine order of 1 Corinthians 15 with God as their head. And the bride is following the word. And this woman had to have a dream to get it across to her because no doubt there was nobody to help her. So God helped her. Now, here's the thrust of the message. Do you see him now in his word and all his word being manifest right here before us? In other words, everything points to this message being Christ, that it was God himself who did the mighty works and signs and wonders in order to let the people know the word that followed, that is the covenant that's going to get us in. Because remember, God's got to do something in this hour, for the word of God distinctly says, it is appointed that a man wants to die and after that the judgment, but there's going to be a group of people that don't die. Then you've got the word of God lying to you. No. Right back in the Garden of Eden it said, lest he stretch forth his hand and he live forever. So there's a period of time of death. And in that period of time there's got to be death. But at the tail end there comes a time when death is on the scene, but certain ones will survive, as in the Exodus, when everybody over 20 died, and those under 20 went in, except for two people, Caleb and Joshua. Before it's over, there might be just two people living, the new brother Branham personally, that are going to go in. Maybe nobody, maybe 20, maybe 100, I don't know, but you better believe something. They're going to be dying off, because the type is not just a type, this is reality. Nobody went in outside of Moses' vindicated word. I don't care if he was dead. The God he served wasn't dead, and God's not the God of the dead anyway, he's the God of living. Oh, church of the living God, get to your feet. Believe him with all that's in you. What does that mean? Believe William Branham and this message that came through him, and follow that living word. Hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel. What's that? The revelation that you have in this hour. Of not just Christ in you, the hope of glory, which they all want to go back to, but it's Christ, the pillar of fire, leading us up to the millennium right now. Let it stabilize every move and every motion you make. Every thought that you have, may it be controlled by this power on the inside of you, because God is sitting right in his word in this hour, in the evening light, showing forth the light. In other words, the majesty and the power of God is here now, not someplace else. God is here. I know that's kind of tough to get all down there. Just the other day I was freezing in this place. Am I the only guy that's got a problem? It doesn't matter anyway. I like the heat anyway. All right. Notice, every thought that you have, may it be controlled. Now listen, every thought of what? Of what's going on? What's the spiritual understanding? Not talking about, well, I wonder if God's controlling my thought. I should have a piece of toast. No, he's not talking about that. Or should I go uptown? What does it really matter most of the time? Don't you pray God goes with you? I'm not worried about those things. Look, and I'm worried about this word. Every thought that you have, may it be controlled. In other words, this word be dynamized. You've got the perfect mechanics. Let it be dynamized by the power on the inside of you. Now listen, you never got that word. The word came to you, even though the Holy Ghost was in you. But without the Holy Ghost, you couldn't have got it. But now with the Holy Ghost in you, and that word given by the Holy Ghost, now it springs to life by the life that's in you. And God himself controlling it. Now let's see how that works. In Ephesians. Now I know we're speaking way over our heads, but brother, sister, have faith in God and believe it's going to happen. Believe it's real, because it is real. Now, the second chapter, third chapter unto him that's able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's not what it says. It says, unto him who in the exercise of his power that is at work within us. He exercises it. How? Because we have that word in us. Then that life released, which at this time now is resurrection, immortality, it's going to get you there. And Paul called it a ministry in 2 Corinthians. When every veil has been ripped off of your heart and off your mind, you're Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholic, I don't care what it is. When those veils are all torn down and all you've got is this word, you are going to be transformed. And this is the only age it could happen, no other age. Now, don't sit there and think, well, it won't happen to me. Sit there and think and say, hey, praise God, I'm going to make it.
Amen.
See? Don't give way to these negative things. I know the devil tempts you. Don't worry. He sure bugs me, too, but that's all right. Well, one of these days, we'll fix him. I'll be anxious. He's got his day now, but where do you ever find we don't get our lick back at him? It says here, now where the Lord is, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he's talking about Moses bringing the word at the time of the Exodus to get him into the promised land. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul said it's a ministry given to somebody for this very thing. And it's got to be like Moses. Now, Brother Branham never put Paul into an Exodus. He put Jesus into an Exodus. Moses, Jesus, William Branham. Pillar of fire was Moses, Paul, William Branham. You got to watch. But we have, listen, how's it done? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience out of God. He said, in other words, what I taught you, God backed up. But if our gospel's hid, it's hid from them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's the image. In other words, he's the manifested substance of God. What manifest substance did we have today? Pictures taken, a prophet, and the mighty works of Almighty God. What's it hidden to? The blind. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the seventh church age, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here he is revealed in his own word. Just get his picture right before you. See him. See the very soul of God in the word. See all these things. Now, the blindness, consider the blindness of a bat. You could turn on a light, and the bat would be so blind he couldn't fly. A hoot owl, all those night prowlers and things like that, roaches and things that can't see in the daytime. They don't know what it's all about. See, that's the world. They can't see. The evening light has come. Every parable, everywhere we go to nature, to the Bible, the images that Daniel saw, the king of that day, all of them saw, all of these things, everybody, every form, every move, every place in the body, positionally shows us the hour we're living in. Now, when he talks about position and body direction, that's where this Holy Spirit comes down to set the church in order. 1 Corinthians. Now, that's something else you can study about in your Friday night meetings, because I have to understand sometimes you just don't have certain things you want to study about. There's to give you some good ideas. Not another move can come above it. Now, notice, he's telling you here, since 1 Corinthians 15, God and the prophet, what can come above it? Nothing. Now, something could have come in the time of Paul and did, because it was to run its course. But when it runs its course, there's nothing else. Because Alpha becomes Omega, and Omega becomes Alpha. There was a move of the hand, Charity, Wesley, move of the foundation, Luther. There never was a greater, it's called. The Wesleyan move. They sent missionaries to the whole world. One of the greatest moves that was made in the age before that. Then come Pentecostal age. Then came the different fingers and things, and Pentecostal tongues and nose and so forth. Now it's in the eyes. What good will it be to you? What good will it be to need light if the eyes aren't there to see? There has to be eyes, have to be eyes first to see. Then when that came, he opened the seven seals and revealed the evening light, taking all the mysteries that's been hid through the church ages, and now revealed them as promised. He promised to do in Revelation 10:1-7. Here we are sitting in the midst of the Word, and the Word being revealed to us by Jesus Christ. This then is God's word. Now he's proving that this is God's word, and therefore what he brings as revelation is Christ revealed. This is the true Christ of the Bible. I'm going to tell you one thing. William Brown is a phony. He's the best phony I've ever seen. I'll stick with him. Because nobody else had the backbone to get in the gumption to do what he did. Stand right there and prove it. Nobody could prove a thing. Anybody can talk. And you can talk if you got a lot of people. But one day those people are going to be taken as tares and bound in the lake of fire. Those are smarted off. Like the little girl that said to Brother Branham, I'll see my mother fry in hell first. And the one said, well, I wouldn't let my cow have Bill Branham's religion. Look the death she went through. The one that said her mother would fry in hell turned her down, so she got so hard she could never turn to God. The other blasphemed. She died. I'm going to tell you what, Ananias and Sapphira is in the land. People say, well, I want to see it happen in our church. Who said it's going to happen in your church? Who said it's going to happen in this church or any other church? It could be happening every day. The bluff has been called, brother, sister. Everything's been put in order. Nobody's going to get away with anything. Why do you think I try to keep cleaning my record up? Because I want to fear Judgment Day. You know, you're going to fear Judgment Day, brother, sister, unless your record's cleared up. You can't get away with anything. And it doesn't matter what people do to you. It's what you do to people. If you offend a little one, better a millstone hang about your neck. Doesn't say about a little kid. Warn to them by whom offenses come, not to whom offenses come. Remember that. We'll all learn to go the extra mile. Sure, nobody's going to get free of this. Now listen, here we are today sitting in the midst of the Word. What does that mean? Sitting in the midst of God moving on the scene, and we know what's moving because we're directed to Scripture. And the Word being revealed unto us by Jesus Christ. Every single part of it, he lays out and tells us all about it. This then is God's Word. The revelation of the manifestation of that Word. What is God doing? It's before us. Who's telling us? A prophet. See? There you are. This is the bride age. Not Laodicea, we've left it, although we're still in it to that degree. And being his subjects, we must walk close to the author to understand it, for it to reveal. O Lord, what will you have me to do? If I must go to the fields and preach the gospel, or must I stay home? Now right away, here's the prophet, going to go preach the gospel, going to go to the fields. Hey, what's he doing? Going to leave his mantle at home? What message do you think he's going to take to the people? End time evangelism. After they'd seen him, after he's risen. See, they had a testimony they'd seen the Lord. Others didn't believe it. And he upbraided them because of the hardness of their heart. They didn't believe these people had seen that he was not dead. He's alive. Same thing today. Repeat. Omega. When you see his work. Now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming are two different words. To appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days. Right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. The appearing is the sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's he, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Keep that plural in mind for just a second. Now remember, spoken both place, appearing and coming. Now I want you to know this is sure. This is not end time. I'm reading now for anointed ones, the end time. I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself because I was preaching this message. I have no more to do this with this message and nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, because I just wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down the river. I was the only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfectly as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke to. It isn't I. It wasn't the seventh messenger. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel. His message, Brother Branham's. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. All singular. Like John 14 and 12. Like John 14, 15 and 24. If the hand does it, the body does it. Oh, a lot of people want to identify with God. You tell me you identify with God and then turn down the man who was identified by God. Honey, you belong and you're in the wrong pew. Stick around and you'll learn. But don't try to start a fight. Our rushers are well trained. They're our deacons. And they're going to throw you out or anything. They'll just take you to task and say, hey, brother, if you don't know the word, you better just abide. Get your own soapbox. We paid for ours. I may sound kind of harsh, but I've done it more than once, and I'll do it again. Not saying anything about either church. It just happened a smart kid walked to me one time and thought he could snow me under by stupid, inane remarks. So I knew instantly what he's pulling off. So I said, you don't believe this message, do you? He said, certainly not. I said, I knew that was in your craw all the time. But I said, son, this is my soapbox I paid for. You get your own. You say, that's bad. No. Paul stood up. I'm set for the defense of the gospel, not for Lee Vale. I got no defense, brother, sister. You want to look at my life? God's helped me to live a cleaner life than I would have by myself. I can tell you that, but my life does not bear inspection. I plead nothing but the cross and the scattering of sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, listen. If I must go to the fields, he's going to go there. What was he going to go with? End time evangelism. Wasn't that? Oh, let me, before I finish that, let me go over here and just show you something. Matthew 24. That's what I want. And I'm not going to twist words. I'm going to tell you what I believe in my heart, what I see. Okay, the 14th verse. And this is it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, he's connecting that over here. What will be the signs of thy coming? And the end of the world. And he tells them. And the main thrust is false prophets. Wars and all those things. Now, remember the gospel of the kingdom. All right, let's go to Luke 17. And you'll see what I'm believing. Now, you don't have to believe this. I'll tell you, fine, Brother Branham said it, but here's my understanding. Verse 20. And when he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It'll come and you won't even know it. The gospel of the kingdom at the end time is going to come and nobody knows it. You say, hey, what about those millions get burnt? 5 billion people could burn at the end time. They'll know it. You bet they will. Or you bet. Then he's lying. That he's lying. Is he lying? Let's read some more. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Presence. The king is here. And at that time, the days of the Son of Man appear. Because he came as their king and they rejected him. And he comes once more in the form of the Spirit. Recessively the king. Temporarily, in the a dominant prophet, judge, all is priest. For the first time, now true Melchizedek. Because he takes the book on his father's hands, rips the seals off, climbs on the throne, and said, you can sit with me in my throne as I'm sitting with my father. That's not said before. That's this age. All right, see what we're talking about? In this age, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And you know the end's here. What is it? It's already here, and you don't know it. This was it, and you denied it. All right. Paul said, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? He was down on the road to Damascus to put all the churches in prison. But he cried out, what would you have me do? When the light turned on, the big pillar of fire hanging above him. What would you have me do? Now, that's before he got the baptism. I think that's a good word to close on. Lord, what would you have me do when I see this scripture so perfectly revealed now, Lord? What would you have me do? And he said, let's bow our heads in prayer. And I got just enough time on the tape, I think, to run the prayer off. Lord, what would you have me to do? And you people, if you're still on the telephone wires out across the nation, bow your heads and ask, Lord, what would you have me do? Seeing we're here in the last days, the last hour, just perfectly, plainly revealed, what would you have me do? The question, what would God have us do? He would have us believe what the prophet taught by vindication and take it to the people. Not meet them on the old dead ground out there. Not meet them on the old subject, well, Christ died for your sins, though that's true. Let's go to Hebrews. 6th chapter. Let's find out what it's all about. You know what it's all about. Okay. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That's conclusion. 1 Corinthians 13:10. When that which is perfect has come. not laying again the foundation of repentance and from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine and baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and this will do if God permit. Something new is to come on top of all of this. For it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened. The last day message, no more to come. That's the eye, no moving part above the brain. The brain doesn't move. Mind doesn't move. God inexorable. We inexorable. Can't change. Can't move. Where would we go? No place. If I had to deny this, I would simply fold up and say, poof. How would I even do that? What would I do? What could I do? Every energy I'd have and every cent I have, I'd try to put in some foundation at least to prolong our lives in better condition. Because if in this life is all there is to it, eat, drink, and be merry, and make sure you have a good time and a long time doing it, because who knows anything beyond that? What would you do? Find something else? Be my guest. Be my guest, because you're only going to be troublemakers to me anyway. I don't need you. And you don't need me. Might as well be honest. Seduced before you're seduced. Lie before you're lied to. Killed before you're killed. What are you going to do? Oh, brother, I'm reading from the scripture here. Tell me what I believe about. For if once for all, there's no more light to come. When the eye gets it, that's the last. And have tasted the heavenly gift. Partaken of the Holy Ghost. Tasted the good word of God. What tremendous evidence in this hour. Nothing like it in history, if you really want to put it. Oh, we glamorize Moses. We glamorize Paul. We glamorize Luther. We glamorize this guy, that guy. And then we martyrize William Branham. Discuss God. And become reprobates. Having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance. Then if we don't fall away, can we ever lose it? No! How are you going to miss it? You have brains like concrete. Steel, oh, it's worse than concrete and steel. That can be shaken down. You got a Holy Ghost strength in there that nothing will move. Nothing move. Having fallen away, cannot be renewed to repentance. No more can your mind change. No more can anybody deal with you. Because you've crucified to yourself the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now that's this age, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody says. What are people doing about it? They're doing everything believing God. What would you have me do? Take this message. Make it your life. Make it everything. I pray that you'll help everyone across the nation. Those present tabernacles. Search hearts and say, Lord, would you have me do? What's he talking about? This message right here. So what does he want you to do? Fall in line with the word. Your kingdom and your cause. Granted, God, search us, our hearts. Try us. If there be any iniquity in us. Any iniquity. Disbelief in this message. Vacillating. Turning from it. Any selfishness. Trying to run with it. And pretend we believe when we don't believe it. Trying to make hay out of it. Don't think I don't know preachers that came on the bandwagon. And I got no bandwagon. They even come and toady to me to get put forward. I put a lot of them forward. That day's over. I'm depending on God from now when I get the peculiar sensation, that feeling. I can't go by feeling, but I'm just making a public declaration. First time meeting a man from now on. But God help me. I can't do it by myself because I'm a gullible. I'm just a sucker. You people think I'm tough, but I'm a pushover, really. Man's nice to me. I can't help but dub him and do nice things back. But seduction, you see, that's not life, that's seduction. Amen. You know, I'm not trying to put anybody in or anybody out. Gotta be kind and gentle and all. But I'm gonna tell you, God's bigger than all that. Amen. That love I'm talking about is word love. The agape love that belongs to God and God alone. You can take that same love and just mess it all around here. There's no difference. It means that which is reserved for God and Him alone. That's that supreme love that makes you die or anything else. That love in there. You know you got it. If you fuss about this thing and that thing, brother, sister, don't do that. We're trying to build a church here on nothing but the Word. And I'm going to tell you one thing. There'll be somebody who goes along with it. There'll be people sitting in these pews that go along with it. I can't vouch for you. I can't vouch for me. But I know one thing. I can vouch for this. That's the Word of God. And there are enough people gathered around here. There's got to be some reality somewhere. Got to be some reality. There's no two ways about it. Oh, God, cleanse us with the blood of thy Son. What does that mean? Scatter sin. No evidence left. No judgment. We humbly accept his propitiation of death and his resurrection. It's manifest in this hour. And being justified by believing that he did this. What? This was going on now. And gladly accept the plan of salvation that you gave to us. What part is it now? The prophet, the covenant, in this hour, to get out of here. That wasn't there before. It was in here. But now it's here. It was not extant as to being current. It was extant, but not current. Now it's extant and current. In other words, its existence is in it's applied. It's here. You gave it. Father, we thank you for the message of the day. What we believe in, what we hold on to. To know and believe that your word and your message. Not to be different from other people, but to try to be more like Jesus Christ, who is our example. Dear God, lying here in handkerchiefs. And he prays over the handkerchiefs. Now he closes saying, and dear God, that you'll deal with each one of us and forgive us our sins and heal our sickness and our bodies. He never let down healing. Make us more like you day by day, Lord, until we come to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord. I trust we've searched every heart now, and we know what to do. We ask you to bless the name of Jesus Christ. What's he saying here? Christ is revealed in his own word. You've got it. There's nothing else to turn to. There's nothing else you need. This is it. This is the time to master the tree of life and walk in immortality. Brother, sister, don't turn this down for some little petty pleasure of the sins of this world. Some little life that you think is going to give you freedom. Don't do that. It isn't worth it to you. It isn't worth it to you. I've paid a pretty big price, and yet my price is nothing what other men have paid. I may continue to pay a price. We all got to pay a price. But if this is not the great pearl of great price, if this is not the treasure we've been seeking for, then I don't know what is. And it's all laid out in this message. Christ is revealed in his own word. I've proven, said the prophet. This is the word of God. How it's come. I've manifested it. God has declared it. This is it. What more do you want? Feed me evermore of that bread, O God. Not the wiggletail bread. See, the word passes away when it's fulfilled. This is soon to pass away. And the fulfillment is in a bride. Living members of the word. God sitting in the midst of his word. And literally, if you want to apply it to an extended truth, we are the Logos of God in the limited sense. And he's sitting amongst us. The Father amongst his children. God nurturing each one. And you know something? Brother Branham said, when you talk of that person that you love departed, and you talk good things and sweet things, he said, notice that sweet spirit comes in the room because that man's spirit draws nigh. I think he said spirit, not soul. I'm sure he said spirit. Then what if we talk the good things of Jesus in our homes, in our lives, our conversations, in our minds, our thoughts, and come together and talk it like brother said. They had not yet come together, you know, to talk the word. Remember we caught that? Rahab and that sermon? That was back on the token. They had not yet come together to talk the word. We were doing that. Well, who's going to draw nigh? What were the disciples doing on the road to Emmaus? Talking about Jesus. What happened? He drew nigh. And he revealed himself. All you got to do, brother, sister, is do the simple things. Yep. Every man has a mind to do those simple things. Follow the word. I think they've shown it. Lord bless you. Show your eyes at this time. Be dismissed. No service Wednesday, right? 7 o'clock, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we say we count it a great privilege to be in your presence this morning. Freedom of the Holy Spirit, love of God, the love of the people, the joy of the Lord. All these things, Lord, mean so much. So that nothing else matters. What does anything matter, Lord? Nothing matters. Only you matter, Lord. And we know that you matter to us when we matter to you, having received the revelation, which is of you, which is not only of you, but in the sense of the giving, but it is of you in the sense of what it is all about. And Father, we're so grateful to know that we're right in line with the old patriarchs. Right down there where old Abraham was, that prophet standing there, and you were standing there, just the God of judgment, the God of all the earth, vindicating the righteous, avenging the righteous, just before the fire fell, and the sun came on the scene in human flesh upon the earth. Lord, what a tremendous day you're in, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the prophet that you sent. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you allowed us to be a part of his ministry, and we're still a part. Everybody in this room that believes, Lord, and everywhere else, a part of that ministry, because we are partaking of the same word of life. Convert the sinner amongst us, O God, and give greater depth of understanding and sobriety and sincerity to every one of us who are already entrenched to a degree within this living word. Father, help us, we pray, because this is what we want above all else, knowing that, as John said, if we prospered and our souls, then we would prosper in our bodies. And Lord, that's what we want as we think of these things. As Brother Branham kept praying for the sick, so do we say, Lord, may all the sick amongst us be healed. May the sweet spirit of Christ grow in our midst until there's nothing left but looking at Him in knowing His sweet presence is here in that depth because of that sweet Spirit that's here. He Himself here and everyone here. Father, turn not aside today. We're disobedient so many times. We're so ignorant. We're so stupid. We're so selfish. We're so careless, oh God, in this lukewarm age. All we can say is, Lord, we really don't mean to be, and we don't want to be. And we're trusting somehow, Lord, because You love us. You, in Your descent here, will move upon us, oh God, establishing deep within us those Christian virtues and graces to the glory of Almighty God. And we shall give You the praise and the honor, because we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just go sing in the name of Jesus with you.